Hi, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm really hoping this works. I'm actually not in my radio room because my radio room is toast. My home broadcast unit got toasted both from the power cord and through the phone lines. And so that room is basically down. And so I'm actually broadcasting from a different location. It's amazing the technologies of little pulse-generated things that can be played with nowadays. Some of the things I wanted to talk about was, the Swiss Parliament I haven't heard the latest, but they were going to pretty much invade the Bilderberger meeting there, the New World Order boys, because they said that was an illegal meeting. It should not be done in secret and not in a democratic society. It looks like Kennedy all over again, so... So I don't know where that's gone, but it's really heating up over there. The Spanish Revolution, nobody is hearing about this. It's totally blocked out on the mainstream press. But when you see the photographs and the video, it is just mind-blowing. It's like the whole country is out and saying enough is enough. And they're just totally pissed off at the banksters, you know, at the government and how they've sold them out. They have massive unemployment. The economy is in the toilet. The Greece and Ireland also, the same thing going on there. There's no way they could ever repay the debt. Their whole gross national product of the country can't even pay the interest. And we're not too far behind them. You know, the EU is imploding. And China is dumping its bonds, you know, so we're not too far behind. You know, not to be a doom and gloomer, this is just reality, and this is the things that you're not being told. Now, another thing, too, is that this, I think, is amazing. Denis Kucinich is actually suing Obama and introducing this in the federal courts for this war with Libya. He said this is an illegal war, just as all the other wars were illegal. They weren't even agreed upon by Congress, and I don't care who it is, NATO or any other country does not supersede Congress. So there's a big reality check coming. So looks like our Constitution just might be put back in order, which would be amazing. I think that should be a vote in both houses to restore the Constitution and just dump all this nonsense, because these rules and regulations are just going nuts. I'm hoping I'm still on the air. I'm seeing all kinds of crazy stuff going on here. But anyway, a couple other things I want to talk about is we're just getting hit with massive chemtrails here. It's unbelievable. The barium levels, the aluminum oxide levels, the strontium levels, I mean, some of them are being measured 6,000 times over the toxic levels. And the EPA will not even touch this, neither will the news. They will not talk about what's going down. You know, you add to that the Gulf oil and all the aerosols that came out of that and the damage that they've done, and the blue flu and the people dying and showing up with all kinds of sores and lesions and things like that. And then now you add Fukushima to this, which was bigger than 50 Chernobyls. And everybody's telling them everything is safe, nothing to worry about, just keep shopping, folks. They shut down all the facilities to monitor the radiation. And now pilots are actually carrying Geiger counters with them up in the cockpit, and they're saying they are getting so irradiated that a lot of them are quitting their jobs. And when it rains, this stuff comes down. So, you know, you add it all together, you know, the aspartame, and when they fought against the FDA to shut down the aspartame, pretty much their answer was, well, we need to depopulate. You know, so you've got the fluoride, the mercury-laden corn syrup, the high fructose syrup. You know, you have all of this going on right now, and if you're not paying attention, you know, it's just not happening. Hopefully I'm still on the air. I don't know, we're having all kinds of problems here. But anyway, you look at what's going on,
you're still on the air as well.
Why that we're having so many problems? Now, there was some strange pulse that came through, and I have a guy here.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
Okay, Walter's online too, and ready for you whenever you call on him. I know you're still on air. Everything's fine. That was just a beep to let you know that there was a caller online.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got all new equipment here, so we're trying to figure this out. Our old equipment, as I said before, got toasted. But anyway, it's pretty crazy what happened. You know, when you look at the big picture, it's just insane. And we are having massive UFOs flying over on a regular basis here, and they're powering up right over the house for everybody to see. A lot of the people are off right now. They went out to dinner. I'm not sure when they're going to get back. We're hoping to get some of the guests. But we have Walter Noasad on our line here. I'm going to see if I can bring Walter in. Walter, are you with us? Maybe not. Well, we're trying to get him online. He'll probably be online shortly. But, you know, you look at everything going down, folks, and you look at the crazy weather we're having, you know, the increase in earthquake and volcanic activity, and you put all this together, and we are in for some big-time changes. And I'm really hoping there is some kind of a peaceful revolution where we can put an end to this tyranny and the greed and this, you know, whatever else is going on. It has to happen on every level, not just the highest levels, but even in your hometowns too, because there are people playing this out as we've experienced in our own hometowns. Hopefully we can get Walter on the line.
Yeah, he's like, hopefully we get Walter on the line. James, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm here.
You know, this is unbelievable what's going on here. Nothing is working again, as usual. And I know, you know, having, you know, studied electronics and everything else, I'd love for you to talk about what you experienced when we opened up that home broadcasting unit.
Sure, you bet. So any electricians out there listening, you know, when you get a spike of power through, it tends to burn things up when it exceeds the capacity of the device. In this case, it appears that the RJ11 jacks just got fried. I mean, we opened up the box and it was just black. There were bits of plastic. The jack just literally exploded. There were just pieces of plastic on the inside. We tested the power cord, the adapter transformer. It was delivering zero power, and that thing was smoked as well. So we worked our way backwards. We ensured we had power, 120 volts online. We had it. We went through the transformer, nothing, turned it on, nothing, no power whatsoever. So they really did a number on them. I mean, both through a power spike on you know, the AC, and then through the power line somehow. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it could be some kind of little EMP thing from a black helicopter. Who knows? They've been flying around here quite a bit. But, you know, it just comes with the territory. But, you know, what else was amazing is the phone cords, both to the Internet, just the standard little phone cords that we have, you know, that hooks into the Internet, and to the phone in the radio room, those were all fried as well. But the main line was not fried. You know, the main phone line coming in was not fried, but the, you know, the smaller cords that attach everything were fried as well. I thought that was quite interesting.
Right. We also discussed surge protection. You had a surge protector on.
Yeah.
And it came through that.
Yeah,
that's mysterious too.
Yeah, and it was fried. You know, the surge protector was fried, but it still, what I think it did is it saved the Internet connection, but it did not save the home broadcasting unit for some reason. But one of them worked anyway, which is good news. But anyway, you know, as we're speaking, this show is being filmed, and people are probably going to be able to see on YouTube me scrambling, trying to just get a connection to do the show. You know, we've kind of re-engineered everything here and doing it on a regular line, and I've got your mics set up for that. The you know, it's interesting just what we have to go through here just to stay in focus when you would think, you know, being in America, you know, that you'd have free speech and you know, a right to privacy and a few other rights that would go along with that. But obviously, that kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah, sure enough. I mean, these little surprises that come along. Now, I don't know about EMP pulse, but it was certainly strange. I can't really speak directly to what specifically caused it. You know, if you were targeted,
yeah.
I think that's a pretty rotten thing.
Well, yeah, this is the second one. You know, these things are about $500 a piece, and this is the second time this has happened. So I think I'm going to get some less expensive equipment and go from there and just try to figure out an alternative, you know, approach. You know, I'd love to hear you talk about some of the things that you've been up to. But before that, I know you've been out in the field along with a lot of the other folks, and maybe we can just talk a little bit about what you've seen just in the short time you've been here.
Yeah, absolutely. Last night we stepped out in the field, and it was just like a walk in the park. You know, for those of you who have an interest in seeing a UFO, you know, maybe you've been looking at the skies for years and not seeing anything. I would suggest that you need to get away from the city, first of all. Get away from the city lights and just take a good hard look at what's going above you. You'll be able to recognize things like helicopters and jets. You'll be able to discern the difference between the stars and the aircraft. And then you have the kinds of craft that are appearing here at the East Eddy Ranch. And it's not just here. It's other places as well. But here, just like you step out, there's one, there's another, there's another. I mean, in my experience, I'd been to the desert, and I was out there for an hour before I saw one, and it was tiny. Compared to what's here, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? These things are lighting up, and, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that these are craft. And if you get a chance to come out here, not just for the craft, that was my purpose for coming out here, but it's a very peaceful place. If you're looking for some peace in your heart, this is a great place to come to get some peaceful meditation.
Now, you also got to experience the orbs real time. And
oh, yeah.
A lot of people are real analytical on these orbs and very left-brain, you might say, on these orbs, but... What would you say about the infrared spotlight and the third generation military goggles we're using together, lighting up the orbs? You can see them in real time.
I mean, having used the goggles myself in the military, you know,
yeah.
But when you put that infrared out there, I don't recall ever seeing, you know, and the goggles come with infrared too, at least the models that we were using. I never saw any orbs. You know, either that or I just wasn't looking for them. But
yeah.
You're out here with the light, and as you look through them, you definitely see them, and they're distinctly different from the insects and any other particles that are in your field of vision. So, I mean, I came out here, and you know, I snapped lots of pictures with orbs, and I'm going, okay, dust, you know, other particles that are in the air. And you and I talked about this last night, and you mentioned, you know, wintertime, when all the bugs are dead, they're still there, and they go against the wind.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's a no-brainer. When you see the trees blowing one way and you see the orbs going the other way, and in that little video we did about the chemtrails, you can definitely see the wind coming in from the west and blowing the trees. You know, it's a no-brainer. These are some object flying under its own power. You know, they're going totally against the wind. They're not just blowing in the wind. And when you see them interact...
I've never met a dust particle that has flown into the wind. So,
yeah, it's called
you skeptics out there, show me one and I might be happy. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that just ends the argument, you know, right there, that these things, when you see them stop and hover over people, and we have them actually creating a vortex and spinning, you know, whole columns. We had Robbie Williams here, the UK pop star, and he was singing Beatles songs out there, and the orbs just all came in and started swirling around him. Above Top Secret got some great photograph and video of this, but they kind of canned it for some reason. They decided they wanted to sanitize their time here. You know, they also took out some sound from the ships and some great footage of UFOs. Didn't seem to get on the Above Top.
Well, you know what, James? Well, I just have to take those night vision goggles of yours and just stick them on the end of my camera and have a go at it tonight. You want
to?
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, we could definitely try that. That's what we used to do. We'd put the night vision up, just hold the camera up to it when the bigger ships come in and film them. But, you know, we have so much footage. To me, it's almost boring getting, you know, more footage. But I guess it's good to keep an update and keep, you know, people updated on the latest footage and let people know it's still going on here.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's good to see with your bare eyeballs. You know, I mean, the infrared's one thing with the orbs, but the ships with the visible light, that's a whole other program.
Oh, yeah. Now, we've corresponded quite a bit, and we have something in common, a friend in common, which is Ralph Ring. And And for those that don't know the story about Ralph Ring, maybe you could bring that up with his, you know, work with Otis Carr and some of the UFO work they did in the past.
Sure, you bet. Back in the 1950s, Otis had designed, actually, let's step back a little further. Otis was actually a protege of Nikola Tesla. So he used to go into the hotel that the government had him spirited away in, and he brought in peanuts. And for that, he got to learn from Tesla, so the legend goes. And actually, you know, he sent to Ralph talk about this blue book he had. Those are all the notes from what he learned from Tesla. And he applied that knowledge, which is natural law, really, if you take a look at the work of Victor Schauberger and others, observing nature, the way nature works, and the power of the vortex. It's just applying that principle of nature into these craft that he built. So they built this craft, you know, and a lot of you listening to this have probably already heard the interviews with Ralph. He's been out there quite a bit. You know, bottom line is Ralph got on this 45-foot craft in Hesperia, California, and with two others, and he took it 10 miles downrange and back, and it was a whole other experience. I urge everybody who's curious about it to go check out the interview. And there are witnesses, aren't there, James?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, me being one of them.
you want to tell us about what you saw?
Well, you know, I was raised in Apple Valley, California, and Hesperia is basically where his main lab was, where they were building these craft. And when I drove by there, I remember seeing that, and I would tell my mom, I want to go there. I want to. You know, check out the flying saucers, you know. And at the time, they were being totally demonized and called frauds and saying they were just there to steal people's money. And then the FBI came in and just totally came down on them and just shut everything down. But the problem with that was that there were things that happened there when I was a kid, and I saw this object streak across, you know, extremely fast, go across the sky. You know, we used to see a lot of that, but one particular incident was when this object landed in what they call the Sidewinder Mountains, which is right on the other side of Apple Valley. It's going, I forget which direction. As a kid, I'm trying to remember which direction, probably north maybe. It would be north, kind of northeast. And all the mountains just lit up, like some object came down and lit all the mountains up there. The whole town was in an uproar about it. A lot of people went out there with Jeeps and, you know, four-wheel drives, and they knew where, they had a witness, I guess, that saw where it hit or where it landed. And they went up there, and, you know, they found a few footprints, and that was about it, and some looked like some marks, you know. I wasn't sure what they found. But they didn't find anything. They thought maybe there was a huge fire or, you know, a plane crash or something of that nature, and there was nothing left. You know, there was no objects there or anything else. And I remember that event very vividly for some reason. But we used to sit outside when we lived in the desert. It was very hot, you know, the houses don't cool down for a while. And we used to always throw a sleeping bag out on the lawn and sleep outside at night. And we would see things flying around on a continuous basis that were doing zigzag patterns and right angle turns at several thousand miles an hour and bright blue dish, you know, shape objects taking off, and so it was pretty much a common event.
Yeah, what's great about this is Ralph Ring is listening right now, and you guys have an appointment, scheduled interview in July.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because, you know, it has some very fond childhood memories of that area, and it kind of validated that feeling I had such a strong feeling I wanted to go see that, you know, ship, and I don't know why. Now I know why, but, you know, it makes more sense now.
Well, there's a lot of very interesting aspects of that entire story, and I'm shooting a documentary related to it right now. it's kind of a twofold situation where I'm following the story. I'm here, obviously, to collect your interview. And here we're doing this and killing two birds with one stone at the same time. It'll be incorporated into the documentary. But, there, you know, there's pods. There's just groups of friends and other folks out there. That's what Ralph has dubbed them as pods, that are actually pursuing the technology and really the natural law behind making this whole thing work. And there's so much more to the message that I look forward to bringing out. And you and Ralph will be able to delve into that quite a bit deeply. But it's more than just the craft. You need to know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen all, you know, what I've been told by the masters. They said the most powerful UFO you're ever going to see is your own consciousness, you know, and we can, through consciousness, we can actually change our body into a ship, you know, into a light ship and jump dimensions and do all these other things. Well, there's also other technologies that assist in that process, and I've always felt, even talking to the Pleiadians, when I get meditative information or telepathic information from, they talk about their ships as being alive, and there's an interaction of consciousness between them and the ship, which is making things happen.
Yeah, so there's that's great. I mean, you mentioned out there in the field last night about them being more organic than anything else. They're like living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty.
And that's
cool.
Interesting because they, you know, they talk about they have kind of androids that are more organic. They sound a little metallic when they speak. It's the only difference, but they're more kind of an organic situation, and you know, they help them with a lot of their tasks and their work and whatever else they're doing, probably on, you know, long journeys, and, you know, might be good to have somebody to talk to, even if it is an android.
Well, how long can those journeys be, you know, if you're traveling through space-time, time-space, or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I've heard something. I think it takes them about only 7 hours to get here from the Pleiades system, but they're not really coming from the Pleiades as we know it. They have to do a time jump, and so they're actually coming from a whole different dimension or time, when they get here. So the Pleiades that we see is not the Pleiades that they exist in.
Hmm. Yeah, back in Otis Carr's day, he was talking about, you know, the Venetians, you know, those from, you know, Venus, and
mm-hmm.
the conscious channelings of messages that they would receive from Venus.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, there was a lot of, I was trying to think of who else was working with. There was Dr. Strange?
Yeah,
he was working with Val Valerian or something like that, or Val Valerian.
Yeah, I'm probably the worst person to ask about names, unfortunately.
Yeah, he was supposed to be from Venus, and there's other lot of people that talked about beings from Venus, but, you know, NASA is telling us that, you know, they were talking about how the environment in Venus is just so hostile that it would, eat anything that got there, that, you know, everything would die, and they can't even send a vehicle there without it just getting, you know, corroded and eaten up by the atmosphere. But then they go and drop a probe off with a parachute there.
Right, and the parachute doesn't burn up in that atmosphere?
Yeah. You know, a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense, and from what I've heard from other scientists in the know, that do know what's going on with the other black projects and things like that, they're giving me a whole different story. So, you know, what I see over and over again that, you know, especially with the Mars, you know, the monuments on Mars and the face on Mars and all the other things there, even if the face isn't real or not, the other monuments and the lineups on these monuments and the pyramids there and the information that we've received from these higher beings, it's very clear that Mars was once inhabited, and there's even structures on the moon. It'd be nice if they released, you know, that information, although a lot of those photos have been leaked, you know, and people are getting a hold of those.
Yeah, there's so much information and disinformation out there. You and I kind of went back and forth in email regarding the double, I don't know what you call it, you know, you're sure you're not being... you know, double whammy or whatever word you use when we're talking about Ellen,
yeah.
For example, you know? You know, what's
yeah,
going on
I think
with that? You know,
me, to me, Ellen and I think we're not, definitely not being told the whole story there. there's no way we're being told the whole story. And because something massive is perturbing the Earth, and these alignments with Elenin are, you know, when Elenin aligns with the Earth and the Sun, we're having these massive earthquakes on a regular basis. And, you know, maybe Elenin is a comet, but there's something else behind it or coming in, you know, from the same area that is much, much bigger, which we wouldn't be picking up with most of our telescopes unless we had an infrared telescope, or you know, which our government does, but we're not really getting the information from it.
So what do you believe about that then? You think that it's the planet X, Nibiru, a brown dwarf, an entire system?
I tell you what I believe right now is that there's just a lot more to the story, and if this Elenin is changing velocities and doing things like what they say they're measuring, you know, it could be very well be something else entirely different, and it might be a forerunner to something even bigger behind it. But that would be my assessment of it at this time, you know. And I always tell everybody my truth is subject to change as more knowledge comes in.
Well, so, I appreciate that. I mean, coming from a skeptical perspective, I like to take a look at all angles, even though, you know, you hear something, you read something, you know, why do we have this inherent distrust in NASA and JPL and what we read on the Internet? Are we deliberately being deceived with this information about Elenin being a 4-kilometer, whatever, piece of rock, a little small speck in the sky that we're going to come close to, and we're going to travel through its tail, but it's not going to be a big deal? You contrast that with what other people out there on the Internet are saying. It's an entire star system. It's a brown dwarf. You can't see it. It's hidden behind the sun. And they get all this hysteria of folks taking pictures of the sun. Oh, look at this lens flare. You know, this is actually Nibiru. It's like, okay, let me test that. And I have a video out there where I've tested that, and I've proven, at least in my mind, that what they're seeing is not, you know, Nibiru or Planet X or what have you.
Yeah, it is indeed pretty interesting. Yeah, there's definitely something coming in. That's all I've got to say. There's definitely something coming in. You know, being out in nature a lot, because I do a lot of gardening, I'm very in touch with the earth and nature, and spending so much time outdoors here on the ranch, it's very, very obvious to me that something is up. I mean, it's undeniable. The you can see these tornadoes we're experiencing, the earthquakes, the volcanoes going off, everything. You know, some people are saying it's HARP, some people are saying it's other technologies, but
right, it's a mixed bag. It's like everybody's got their, you know, here's my fear package. Would you like to buy it? This
one could be all the above too. You know, that's
true. Yeah, I've heard that too. You know, we got a lot of things coming. All at once. You know, you listen to other channeled messages, and folks are saying, you know, there's more coming than we can say.
Yeah.
You know, take all these as indications of all this coming and just take...
Yeah, that's what I look at nature. I look how nature is reacting to something, and it's very obvious, and the people are reacting to something, and it, you can see change is coming on every level, social, economic, physical earth changes. I mean, every level. It's just exponential. And following the Mayan calendar with the ninth wave coming through, which is unity consciousness, I see without a doubt anything that's out of harmony within ourselves or within our institutions, government or religion, or anything that creates disunity is going to be just turned upside down. And so anything that's a disservice to humanity, the earth, is not going to make it. It's not going to be frequency specific to what's coming.
Well, bringing this back to Ralph Ring and his message and the project and everything that's going on down, there's going to be a lot of changes coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait for that
Ralph
interview.
Talk quite a bit
it's probably
going to
be
so.
Like old friends getting together or something. You know? Yeah. But, that's one thing I know for sure. I may not have all the details. We're still getting more information. I'm actually getting information from these higher beings, these ultra-dimensional beings, and putting that together. And I'll eventually just put it all together and put it out and let people figure it out from there. But the other information that we're given back in 1982 they talked about all these shifts and changes, and it's actually written in the books, you know, in Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods, and it talks about, you know, the crazy weather. It talks about fires. You know, we've got messages from Ezekiel back, way back in the 70s and 80s, and he said that, you know, he talked about there would be massive fires and changes in the jet streams, and there would be grasses growing in deserts, and he said everything is going to change on every level. And he talked about the sun, too, going through its process and expansion, and which would create, you know, a major increase in earthquake and volcanic activity, and just pretty much laid this all out, as well as talked about the New World Order boys and their agenda and their plan. So I mean, we're walking through those times, and when they keep giving that accurate of information, which is always subject to change because we always make choices, we could rise to the occasion and wake up as a collective and enlist help from these benevolent beings and be a civilization worth saving and change the whole outcome of this. But, you know, again, we all need to take responsibility and get off our butts and start waking up and smelling the coffee.
That's interesting. So back in, excuse me, in 1982, you said we were receiving messages from Ezekiel. Are you talking about yourself and the channel messages you received from Ezekiel?
Yes, there was. Back then, I was working with the Tibetan Foundation and the TIC. It's the Teachings of the Inner Christ, and both of those foundations. You know, we were bringing in channeled messages, and that was where I first came into contact with Ezekiel, which is an ascended version of Ezekiel. And, you know, one of the original UFO contactees, you know, if you read the Bible, it's pretty obvious. I mean, what you think about, okay, when you have a shiny disc come out of the firmament with fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it, it has bronze feet like calves, and it sounds like 1,000 rushing rivers, according to his description. I mean, what does that sound like to you?
A car? No, it does. Well, but having not heard one yet, I can't say that it sounds like a flying craft, but obviously the description, a lot of people have connected to the craft we saw last night.
Yeah, it almost sounds like some kind of a rocket ship landing or, you know, with fire and brimstone.
Okay, I'll give you that, a rocket ship landing.
Yeah, bronze feet like calves, like some kind of a lander, a landing
vehicle. Well, the thing I find interesting is that, you know, you receive these messages in 83 and you're seeing these things come to pass, which explains, you know, how, you know, your belief. You know, I think that goes a long way towards explaining, you know, why you believe so much. That was one of my questions, is, you know, what do you believe and why? And there it is.
Yeah, it comes from, you know, actually having an NDE at the age of 5 where I connected with a being. I didn't know who it was at the time, but it turned out to be Mary, actually. Hmm. And she pretty much saved my life and got me through a really tough time. I had bronchial pneumonia and was going in and out of a coma, basically, and finally, even the doctor said they didn't think I was going to make it through the night, a couple nights, and next morning I was, you know, up and all my vital signs were up, and they couldn't figure out what happened, and I kept asking who was the lady in blue, and they all wore green uniforms, and nobody could tell me who she was.
But
that was the beginning of it, and then at 25 I had a drowning where I crossed over and went into the plane of bliss, and since then, I have a doorway, like an interdimensional mind, where I'm just experiencing all these other dimensions. And the problem is there's no reference points for it here on the Earth. But when you get into ancient history, you'll find the reference points are there.
That's interesting. I mean, it's hard for, you know, a lot of people to really relate with that because they haven't had that experience. You know, not that anybody would want to go through a near-death experience to understand what it is you do. So then what are we doing? We're all operating on faith, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I had a grandmother here, a beautiful woman, and, you know, a grandmother that, it's not my own grandmother, but a grandmother elder, you know, that was here, and she told me, she said, you know, the next girlfriend you have, you need to take her out to the pond and drown her.
Oh, no.
And I thought that was kind of funny. She goes, because there's no way they're going to relate to you unless they've had their own NDE, you know, and, you know, I thought about that, you know, I didn't think about drowning somebody, but, I, you know, it really made sense because it is it is people that have had these NDEs and that have had these ultra-dimensional experiences or contacts and things like that, it's like it's very hard to deal with, to deal with it, basically, and find some kind of support or somebody to that you can talk to about it that isn't going to, you know, get the straitjacket and the rubber room ready for you.
Right, and I think that's one of the really neat things about the East Betty Ranch is, you know, people can come here and meet others who have had those types of experiences. And it's been a very welcome.
You know, it is amazing how many people come here, and these, you know, people are going, oh, yeah, you're just a bunch of drug-crazed hippies, you know, and things like that. But I've heard all the stories and everything. A, we don't do drugs here. We have a drug-free zone here, and it's part of our policy, a no-drug policy for that. And B, some of the people that come here are triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed engineers and people, you know, of very highly educated people, Skunk Works people, NASA has been here. They won't come clean and talk about what they saw here, but they've been here and investigated. You know, the people that have come here, we have, you know, biophysicists, nuclear physicists, astrophysicists, people from all walks of life have come here and have seen the ships, and a lot of them have gone on record and talked about what they've seen.
And you have a lot of very kind, ordinary people here as well who've just had some experiences or perhaps looking for some peace and experience themselves.
Oh, yeah,
I think
definitely.
That's a big attraction you got here. I mean, for anybody out there who has had a contact experience and maybe you're having a challenge finding somebody to relate with, you might find some of that here. So that's my endorsement, if you will.
You know, it's interesting. People come here and they bring their families. And, you know, I had one, there's a group of women came here and they brought their brother here who was a Mormon scientist and he was a school administrator. And he started out by seeing the orbs and watching all of that go on, and then the next thing you know, he that kind of blew his mind, and then he saw a giant triangle ship fly over his head, and that kind of pushed him over the edge and really turned him upside down, and then on top of that, he had a broken wrist, which was pretty much healed overnight. So,
you know, I like to, if you know, for the folks that are downstairs that want to talk about their experience, I think it'd be great if they can come up here and relay what they have. This shouldn't be all about, you know, me on this show. I think they've got, I missed that. You know, that happened the night before I got here, the thing that you call the bomber that came in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, hopefully somebody down there might want to come up and talk about it. But that was, yeah, we had one come in nice and low, and it was so bright. It was just massive. And, it came right over the tower, the little Skywatch tower, and unfortunately, I didn't get it on film. I wish I would have gotten that one because that thing was huge. But if I would have tried to film that through the night vision, all you'd see is white. It would have totally whited out the night vision. It just looked like a giant arc welder light up there. Jeez. The light was just so bright and big when it came in. And, you know, there is no way. And then we had some other objects go by and satellites go by and things like that that came in from the west and went all the way to the east and stayed illuminated. So for this thing to be that massive and then just shut off immediately, and I know it wasn't an Iridium flare or it wasn't Genesis or Evastat or the space station. It wasn't any of those things. This thing was just massive, and we have the technology here. We can pop into JPL, J-Tracker, or Heavens Above, and find out, you know, what is what. So,
right. And as long as we're talking about tracking things that are in the air, there's also a website out there that will allow you to track jets that are in the air as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you
now
see,
will that
you
track
see,
the chemtrail planes, or they're probably you'll probably see those, and they probably won't even show up on the radar.
Right, and that's the whole point. You know, there's that guy who did What in the World Did They Spring, and he's promoting. He's looking for some folks to get out there and help just observe the sky, take a picture, you know, look up on his tracker software and send it in. You know, I guess he's looking for 100 volunteers or something to help, I guess, make his case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. The case that he's made so far, and for those who haven't seen that video, just Google it, What on Earth Are They Spraying with Michael Murphy, I believe, and we've had him on the show as well. But, you know, the case that he made with the scientists and the measurements and measuring the barium and the aluminum and the strontium and all the things that are raining down, it's pretty undeniable. And also the lack of sunlight that is coming in because of these mass blankets of toxic chemicals they're spraying up there.
There's a nurse in Florida who I met with when I was down in the Gulf who is working on Morgellons treatment, and you know she talks about all that stuff and you know how it affects the body and you know various different treatments. So you know she's seeing it firsthand.
Oh yeah. I know. I think it's Joyce Riley. I'm not sure she's been on.
Trish.
So.
It was actually Trish Springsteen.
Yeah.
So.
And they've talked about that. You know, it's very sad because, you know, what we've exposed, you know, our military men to with the Gulf syndrome, and then before that it was Agent Orange. You know, at what point do we go, wait a second, I'm not going to be a guinea pig or you know, cannon fodder. You know, and I'm going to start working for, you know, people who really love me, you know, and care for me. You'd think at one point people would go, wait a second, who am I working for? And I think that's happening now. On a major level, there's the whole countries now that are just saying enough, enough. And, you know, they're just saying this is ridiculous. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of weird outbreaks happening in those countries that are rebelling, you know, against the international banksters and their you know, world domination program.
Yeah, it's just wild, all the stuff that's going on. And you try to have a level head about it. I was talking to one of the guests here earlier today about having one foot in reality, you know, what we know is 3D reality,
yeah,
and the other foot on the spiritual side. And, you know, that ego has to keep taken over, and I would just like to know 100%. You know, what's the truth? You know, what really is the truth? What's going on? I see a lot of you know, fear mongering. A lot of people, if they believe, you know, like I said, they're selling their fear package. You know, one thing or other, but you can't deny, you know, a lot of things that are happening in the world. But because we're seeing a lot of things happening in the world, do we just kind of take all that stuff, put it in a bucket, and then label it and say this is what it is? You know, we have all these changes. There's a big thing coming down the road, and we can't trust our government. Is that where we're going?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know, we are not...
transparency a lot of times, too. You just go, if it were transparent, really, wouldn't we just be, you know, why are you hiding this stuff?
You know,
you put those things up there, we're going to shoot them down. What? You're a threat to the monetary system. Cease and desist. Well, what happened to our liberties here?
Yeah, they're pretty much gone. I know there's stuff on the internet about a chemtrail plane that went down, and I don't know what happened to that plane, but it looked like somebody opened up like a can opener, and I don't know if it was an explosion on the inside or the outside.
Now, that was burn up after it hit the ground and crashed. That was just burned up.
It was interesting, though, to see that what I looked like, it just looked like a, and they said in the caption, you know, this plane is sitting in a sea of aluminum or silver, you know, coming out of this plane, and then it had the symbol on the tail, which is the symbol for destruction, you know, the Odessa sign or
Omega. The Omega symbol.
Yeah, and so you're just going, what is going on here, you know? Why
if you read further through that, I mean, I believe it was one of the bloggers who had actually made a comment about it looking like a pool of aluminum. And then the Omega symbol, if you read through the article, it talked about how the owner of the airline wasn't speaking out. I can't remember the name of the guy or the company that owns it, but he wouldn't say anything. I tell you what, a commercial airliner goes down, you don't think that you got somebody out there talking to the press about what happened?
Oh, yeah.
And now this happens out at Point Magoo, and they say nothing. So much for
totally covered up.
Thank you very much.
I think it's amazing how this revolution in Spain is, you're not even hearing a peep about it. But when you look at the video of it, I mean, it is just massive. I mean, the whole country is said enough and is revolting. It's not just a few people with signs. I mean, the whole freaking country is out there. And I think it's just amazing that people are figuring it out. You know, they are figuring out who's behind all this nonsense. And the people behind all this nonsense are probably the poorest people on the planet. I mean, they are spiritually dead. They've got no love, no joy. It's amazing. You know, they're not even human anymore.
Yeah, in the meantime, I continue to look for people who can help me take a step closer to believing some of these stories. And there's always that little bit of seed of doubt just going, okay, really, is it this bad? You know, I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe that my government's that corrupt.
Yeah, it's what I always tell people is, like, pay attention. All you got to do is just pay attention. You know, look at what's happening in your water. Look at the fluoride. Look at the aspartame. You know, look at the chemtrails. You know, do a little research on them, on what's raining down, and just watch your body and how your body's reacting to them, and look at your environment. You know, it's a no-brainer. And when you look at, you know, Fukushima, to me, if that wasn't enough to get people to figure it out, I don't know what is, because, you know, when you have that many, you know, what was it, three or maybe four, we're not sure now, but at least three total meltdowns, or melt-throughs, they're calling them now, happen, that's like, you know, 50 Chernobyls with the amount of stock that they had, their nuclear waste and everything else. To act like nothing happened, you know, and it's safe, and to shut down all the monitoring sites, to me, that's like criminal. That is just unbelievable, exposing people to that. But you go, well, what's the difference between that and the chemtrails? You know, I mean, they're already spraying strontium up there. What's really the difference? And I know now in, is it Omaha? They've got another one.
Right, because the river's flooding, and it's right there, it's about to crest or whatever, and right there at the bank is a nuclear facility.
Yeah, and the pictures I saw, it was underwater, basically, the latest
picture. It looked like it was underwater, but I guess the footage was, and you sent this out, I'll look at just about everything y'all sent out, but it was like the news crew boat was coming by, and they were, I guess the government didn't want them to come by looking at that, and there it was, you know, they're on the water, and it literally looks like it's underwater, but... I guess it's close to being, but isn't quite yet.
Yeah.
If it were, you know, I would just, we'd be seeing that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get the real story on this. But I've been screaming about this and telling people, you've got to shut down these facilities through these earth changes. You know, you've got to shut them down. They aren't going to make it through. And obviously, nobody's listening to that program.
Well, like Germany had a stab at it, but they're wanting to shut it down. You know, over a period of 10 years or something like that.
Yeah, they're getting rid of all their nuclear facilities.
Yeah.
No, it looks like
hopefully we'll see all the changes. You know, so far as you know, the advancements where we'll have the free energy. You know, that we'll advance whatever you know technology allows, have the saucers and the teleportation, and our consciousness will be raised to a point where we can handle it responsibly.
Well, the bottom line is people need to rise up and demand it and just say enough's enough, because I know people that have systems, and they're fuelless energy systems that they can plug right into those dynamos, you know, at these facilities and run them without fuel, you know, no fuel whatsoever, and it would be a quick switchover. It wouldn't even take that long to do it. You could still use the same system, and they're safe. They're totally safe. I mean, you know, there's no radioactive waste, nothing from them. And it's just a matter of getting enough people behind it to say, you know, enough's enough to these mega corporations, which obviously have no respect for life, either human or nature or anything else.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, time will tell. I mean, it's part and parcel to, you know, the things that I'm doing and chasing and pursuing. I just look forward to the day that I can actually find something and go, hey, look, here it is, you know, demonstrated before the powers that be, powers that were, whatever you want to call them, can send out their forces and shut them down, you know. I just can't conceive of you know, the government coming in and just telling you, no, you can't do that. You know, you're not allowed to, you know, engage in, you know, free energy or what have you. So we just need to get enough people out there trying it. People, you got any ideas? And, you know, don't listen to what, you know, Newton's second law, even that's got its exceptions. You know, a lot of people don't know that. But, oh, Newton's second law, it's just not going to work. You know, free energy is impossible. I go, well, how do you know? Did you try? Yeah. Anybody who's got an inkling or even the resources, I'd urge you, just give it a go. You know.
Yeah, they said there's no such thing as perpetual motion, you know, and I always ask them, well, why is the earth spinning?
You know? Exactly. You know, I know what it is. There's a big guy out there. He's got his hand. He's going like this. He's just spinning. That's the answer right there.
Basically, it's part of our universe. It's going on, you know, everywhere. But anyway, unfortunately, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And do you have a website or something people can connect with you?
I don't have a website yet, but I do have a YouTube channel or two that they can check out. I'm on Search for the number 4, Truth Reality. Search for Truth Reality. And I'm posting updates on that channel for Ralph Ring, and you know, this is part of it. You'll see a video out there that we shot yesterday and posted this morning. So as I go through and as I discover things and things happen, I'll be posting things out there. You can check it out. Also, BlueStarEnterprise.com. BlueStarEnterprise.com is Ralph Ring's website. You want to check that out as well.
Great. Hey, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and can't wait to get out and join you in another Skywatch tonight.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. See you out there.
All right.
Well, we're out of time, folks, and I can't thank you enough for listening, and sorry for all the delays and technical problems. If anybody's got a home broadcasting unit out there you want to donate, feel free. This is the second one. They're about $500 that we've had to go through, and who knows? We'll still be on the air no matter what, even if I have to just pick up an old Bell telephone and do it that way, or do it from some remote location through Skype, which didn't work tonight for some reason. But anyway, have a great evening. Watch the skies. There's a lot going on, and join, you know, the revolution. It's on. It's very obvious. It's coming to your neighborhood soon. And, you know, the bottom line is we just need to be kind to each other. You know, that is the bottom line. And if you're not doing something that's kind to each other or kind to the earth, stop doing it. It's that simple. Anyway, have a good evening. Good night.